there are words to this song, aren't there? The Late Late Show, as performed by Count Basie.
The big hit for this song was Dinah Washington.
Okay.
The Late Late Show.
All right.
Yeah.
Cynthia Hessen here. Up late, up early. That's what it takes to cover the arts on the Front Range.
It is so true. Although, thankfully, I heard you talking about the Denver Film Festival earlier, and you know, a lot of afternoon stuff happening in connection with that as well.
Yep.
And it is on through Sunday, as you know.
Well, let's get to the Denver Film Festival second, because we want to start with the election results on this Scientific and Cultural Facilities District. The name of it is awful, but the polar bear, the little cute polar bear, really works. And the voters approved it again, a solid source of funding through, what, 2030
is that's right. And what it means as well is that in 2018, the funding formula will change a little bit, so that the top five, which are the Botanic Gardens, the Art Museum,
the Zoo, the Museum of Nature and Science, I forget what the other one,
and
Eliges,
no. This is sad. I'm sure it'll come back to us. But anyway, of course, those big five are called Tier 1, and they will have a little bit less of the money starting in 2018, which will then allow more money to go to Tier 2 and Tier 3. And those are the smaller organizations that the money is distributed through county arts boards in these seven metro counties. Mm. So part of the hope then is that even more small organizations can get on the bandwagon and be able to have a little of that money to supplement their own budgets. And here in Denver, in the other six counties, people have seen the wisdom of that, and it was a very solid win, 62% voting for it.
We heard from Brian Vogt, who is the director of the Denver Botanic Gardens.
The cornerstone of SCFD is access. It creates access points for hundreds of thousands of kids every year. We all have free days. We all are connecting with people that in other communities they've never experienced those facilities.
The kinds of things that the big organizations are able to do to bring more people into the whole realm of the arts and culture, and then, as I say, also the smaller organizations in Tier 3 being able to really get all foothold maybe with what they are doing. I'll tell you what, though, up the road in Larimer County, mm-hmm. they wanted to try and replicate this because, it's a good way of supporting the arts and culture. Unfortunately, Larimer County voters decided that Initiative 200 was not for them. And the people who organized it were disappointed, of course, but they said that they feel like it's an education process, and they will try again to see whether they can put something together like that for Larimer County. You know, Utah has, Salt Lake City area has something like this, but really Denver is a shining beacon in the country because nowhere else have voters come together to agree to pay a penny on $10 sales tax.
It occurs to me, and I think the people in Northern Colorado said, it took Denver a few years of trying.
Exactly right.
To get that SCFD figured out.
That's right, and it did. But it passed finally, I guess, in 1996 would have been that election. Mm-hmm. And last year, $54 million came out of this sales tax for distribution. And they say by the next, in the next 10, 15 years, that's going to be more like $80 million a year that goes to help support arts and culture, which is a huge draw. Of course, it comes into economic development and other ways that the state and the city thrive.
Cleo Parker Robinson was very active in the campaign, and smaller arts organizations like hers also real happy with the passage, and the new formula gets more money for the smaller groups. You've been out there with your camera and crew, recording some of the big activities going on with Arts Week and the Film Fest. How did you decide what to cover?
Well, I'll tell you what we decided to do with the Film Festival was we were pretty impressed with how many Colorado films there mm-hmm. are, either totally Colorado people doing them or, shot in Colorado. Or mm-hmm. And this runs the gamut, of course, from music videos and short films to actual some feature-length films that are pretty intriguing. One of them is called Actor Martinez. It's this hybrid between reality and fiction. And I've got to tell you, in talking to those people, I was still unclear on which part is the reality and which part is the fiction.
What's real?
Also got to talk to another guy named Greg Niemer, who is behind a film called Song for the Living. Here's one thing he had to tell us.
I need to know why.
Song for the Living is unorthodox love story between a train engineer who recently lost his mother and a funeral director that finds a love note.
Made in Colorado?
Yes, made in Colorado, and with great difficulty, as it turns out. They shot this near Georgetown in the winter. Snow just completely thwarted them for a couple of days, and they even went up with one script and ended up changing it to a completely different script a few days in. So you have to be impressed. I mean, it's a nice-looking film, and it's just amazing to hear the backstory on that. And as I say, you can see tomorrow afternoon at 1:45. And there are others that you might want to take a look out for. Growing Up Coy, which is about a family in Colorado Springs. It's a documentary trying to make sure that their transgender daughter is able to take part in everything at her school. And then another great one called Reengineering Sam. This is done by Brian Malone, a Colorado filmmaker, a race car driver who was injured, became a paraplegic after a crash on the track, and the amazing technology that was built for him so that he could drive again using his mind. And this is a great, interesting film. So Reengineering Sam.
Cynthia Hessen, thank you so much.
All right, Cynthia, have a great day.
You too.